भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Text 12, entitled Idle Family Life. Yagyadarte svampranan, sorry. Hanyat, was it?
Is it 12? Is it text 12?
It is text 12. Again, Yahyadya Tate Swan Pranan Hanyatva Pitaran Gurum Tasyan Svatvam Striyan Yahyat Yastena hi ajito jitaha. Yagyad yadarte svam pranan. Hanyadva pitaranguram. Tasyam svatvam striyam jahyat. Yastena hi ajito jitaha. Yagyadyadarte svam pranan Hanyadva pitaram gurum Tasyam svatvam striyam yakhyat Yastena hi ajito jitaha Vaishnavas. Yagyat, one may give up. Yatarte, for whom? Svan, one's own. Pranan, life. Hanyat, one may kill. Va, or Pitaram, the father. Gurum, the teacher or spiritual master. tasyam unto her. Svatvam, ownership. Striyam unto the wife. Yahyat, one must give up. Ya, one who, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tena, by him. He, indeed, Jitaha, cannot be conquered. Jitaha, conquered. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One so seriously consider one's wife to be his own, then he sometimes kills himself for her, or kills others, including even his parents or his spiritual master or teacher. Therefore, if one can give up his attachment to such a wife, he conquers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never conquered by anyone. We can repeat together. One is seriously considers one's wife to be his own, that he sometimes kills himself for her or kills others, including even his parents or his spiritual master or teacher. Therefore, if one can give up his attachment to such a wife, he conquers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never conquered by anyone. Purport. Every husband is too much attached to his wife. Therefore, to give up one's connection with his wife is extremely difficult. But if one can somehow or other give it up for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Lord himself, although not able to be conquered by anyone, comes very much under the control of the devotee. And if the Lord is pleased with the devotee, what is there that is unobtainable? Why should one not give up his affection for his wife and children and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Where is the loss of anything material? Householder life means attachment for one's wife, whereas sannyas means detachment from one's wife and attachment to Krishna. Om Agyanati Mirandasa Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshul Mintam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Naha Shri Chitana Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is very, very nice chapter about idle family life. I personally am not so much qualified. You know, I try to be brahmachari. I don't know so much about family life. But by your mercy, I'll try to say something. So in this verse, is going on conversation between Narada Muni, who is instructing Maharaj Yudhishthir, and about idle family life. And if we are thinking who is speaking, Narada Muni, who is coming from the disciple succession, you know, we should be very, very eager to hear. I again want to say, stress here, that means reading by your own this chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam in general, hearing by ear, by mind, by our intelligence, and ultimately by heart. Ultimately, we want to assimilate it, we want to meditate about what we are reading, and ultimately what we want to realize. So to the degree we put this in our heart, where is actually in our soul, and this is what we are, to that degree, actually, we can realize all this beautiful story, and we can manifest nice quality, in devotional quality in our life. So this verse also very clearly explains what is going on in Kali Yuga. You know, in every day, almost every second, 4 days, whatever, if you open a newspaper or if you go on internet, if you want to know what's going on, you can find out about story about, you know, this man killed that man or that woman or brother killed sister or parents or whatever. So this is going on perpetually. And people actually know about that. They are aware about that, but they don't know solution. They don't have solution. And they try by different material means to get some kind of solution. This is why we have so many, you know, isms like feminism, liberation of the woman, or gay movement, gay marriages today, you know. They think they can make some solution by establishing this kind of thinking and behavior, or for example, by advancing of technology, advancement of technology, they think then they can improve their material life. But again, we hear, you know, same stories coming up every little while. And all the time in every part of the world. That means people don't have solution, don't have knowledge. So the only solution is actually to hear from the very beautiful lotus face and beautiful lips of Lord Sri Krishna, who spoke Bhagavad Gita with so many instructions inside, and also other Vedic literature. We can get advantage from Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature. So, why we have to understand by heart. Even people in you know, they're saying, you know, in ordinary people, they think, you know, we have to listen our heart, but they don't have knowledge about it. And in our heart is actually soul and is super soul. And then we have a relation with Krishna, they don't have a clue about that. And it's explained in a Krishna book how actually the gopis, they're the most beautiful, most advanced devotee of Krishna. They were so much attracted to Krishna, then even if they're engaged in family affairs, you know, they have their husband, they have different responsibility in their household life. They are so much eager, actually, to perform this activity for the husband in order, actually, to hide their attachment to Krishna. There is a story, you know, when Krishna was playing the flute in the middle of the night, many married gopis, actually, they're just running, you know, to meet Krishna, even if they have a baby in their lap and they're feeding them, they're just putting them down and then they're rushing to meet the Krishna. And some husbands, they want to stop them by any means, but they cannot do that. And some of them have been forced to stay, but they just give up their body and went to meet Krishna with their spiritual body. So this is the actually perfect example of real relationship what we have with in different rasas, of course, rasas with Krishna. But is it saying that this material world is just pervading reflection of material on a spiritual world? So in material world, we all hear about this story. Maybe some of us have this kind of experience, unfortunately. Then you have your own wife, but you're looking for somebody else. And same, you try to do, you know, so many things. You try to, woman, for example, try to be so nice with his husband just in order to impressed to him the nine chaste, but he just think about how to meet her lover, and this is actually very perverted, very not proper. It is most perverted actually relationship, and this still, you know, you today in the world, in different kind of in different countries, we have people who are maybe not spiritual, but they still have this culture in India, in some other country, you know, some Christians, they have this kind of understanding, I want to be with my wife, I want to be chaste, and women think in the same way, and they try, and some of them succeed to some degree, maybe on the rest of their life, but again, this is just temporary solution. And how Kali Yuga progress, how long will be like that? There is prediction of future, you know, in third canto, how, you know, people, even now, people will come together just because of, you know, in the beginning of sexual attraction, they get together, and if they cannot satisfy their desires, because it's not possible to satisfy these desires, we know this case about fire and butter oil. You have fire is represents I can say maybe I think sensual object, and oil is the lust, and doesn't matter how much you put oil on the fire, they will burn again, so you'll never satisfy this desire. You have to take birth again to fulfill this desire in different species of life. And again, I remember a lecture from Radha Maharaj, how he said, and you know, any time when we have even one small hint of material desire, even just desiring a thought, what to speak, and if you try to fulfill that, immediately, actually, if you are, you know, maybe in the beginning you feel some pleasure, but after that, immediately you are so miserable, and you just regret it. You know, Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is simple for simple-minded, complicated for complicated-minded. So it looked like very, very simple to do these simple, basic things, to chant Hare Krishna, to serve devotee, to come to Mangala Arati, to sing beautiful songs for Krishna, to be the pujari, to work in a kitchen, to preach. Such simple things. And if you just do it for some time, you and you absorb more and more, you really feel pressure, and it's always increasing more and more. But we have to really, how it's called, be determined and do more and more this beautiful kind of activity. Otherwise, because of our past, sinful activities and seed in our heart is still there and can be burned if you are very serious, and we, with great desire, perform our devotional service, we try to put all our heart on what we are doing. This desire is really in a seed form, it burn out. But we should just do it, try it. Otherwise, any time when you again want to enjoy, you're just again miserable. And again you lose, you try to do the same things, chanting, reading, and, you know, same things, you know. And you have to again struggle very hard to, you know, to chant nicely. So why is it like that? When you get already taste, just keep going, you know, don't do any material, you know, endeavor to satisfy yourself. There is some story in this is why the Sankirtan movement is so important, to preach the glory of holy name. Holy name is so powerful, that by chanting holy name, all people will be clean gradually. So in Vedic literature we hear this story many times, but I'll repeat, it's very instructive. It's explained how one man, he wanted to meet, he was looking for one beautiful woman, and he was chasing after her, and he wanted to have a relation with her. And this woman, he said, okay, I will satisfy you. Come in my home, and after a few days, and I will show you something. Story go like that, approximately. Anyway, and the man came and knocked at the door. And the woman opened the door, but actually in front of him was very old, very unattractive actually, looked like very old, an unattractive woman. And he said, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm looking for, where is this beautiful, attractive woman, or I'm looking for? And she said, I am that one. And she said, I will show you, actually, I want to show you something. And he brought a box, beautiful, nice box, with not so much beautiful things inside. Actually, for a few days, she was taking some kind of cleanings or prerogative, I can say, you know, substance to purify her body. And a very unattractive, not so beautiful substance was coming out for her body for a few days, like stool and urine, you know. And she showed to her what is inside. And he immediately realized, you know, what's going on. And actually he started to be a role model for us, you know, to also try to realize that. And actually every day we had a chance to realize same things. I mean, I should not speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam about that, but if you go on the toilet every day, we are doing the same things. You just look, you know, what is coming out from your body, you know, and you can be a little bit more sober, you know. But on the other hand, you know, in a material life and material societies, made in such way then just opposite, people encourage to actually be attracted to this external beauty. I have some experience from Sankirtan, one time preaching book distribution. One time I went to one Spanish area, and I went to one huge shop. There's a lot of them like that, and they're selling different products for women. You know, so many. I went inside, and I was not able to recognize all what is inside, all these things. You know, there's a machine for the hair, you know, but it's a different kind of machine. I recognize this one. Only there is some kind for the lips. Okay, I can recognize that one, the lips, you know, something for the, what's called, for the nails, you know. But there's so many other things, and there's so much variety. And there's so many women inside, you know, so many of them. And I tried to distribute actually in inside, but there's no way. Nobody, you know, there are so much absorbed, some kind of like beauty samadhi, you know. These women are so much absorbed, you know, they're buying. There's no way, nobody bothered me. But one woman actually told me, okay, I will buy this book, just wait for me. And I went outside. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and after, you know, I think, I don't know, maybe 50 minutes, I just went away. You know, who knows how long she was inside to try to buy something, you know. Same things is sometimes when I go downtown Los Angeles, there is also this kind of shops, and you can find out, you know, marriage couple. You can find out, you know, person, all, you know, man, husband, with small children in a, how you can say, this is what, small truck, how you say, small car for the, yeah, okay. And he was just waiting outside for the woman, and woman is inside the shop to want to buy many things. And usually you can perceive, you know, he can wait there at least maybe for half an hour, you know, wait for his wife, you know, to come out. And so this is the best place actually to distribute books, because you have a lot of time and wife is not around, you know, to tell the husband, you know, this is not for you. There is one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 60 chapter, verse 45. And I will just read translation, and goes like that. This is not my word. This is word from Srimad Bhagavatam. But refer to man or woman, whatever, you know. The stupid woman or man, okay, the stupid woman or man, who has not savored the aroma of the nectar of your lotus feet, will become the lover of a man, you know, so-called man, unquote, a live corpse made of flesh, blood, bones, stool, bile, birds, and mustaches. So, I'm not saying stupid women, stupid men, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, but yeah, this is the fact actually. I just a second. Oh, there is another verse I want to just read. It's in 11th canto, 17th chapter. One should not become attached to one's family members, nor should one become bewildered trying to maintain them. Even though one may be a householder, he should not be negligent in his devotion to the Lord. So this sentence is very nice. Just listen. An intelligent householder should realize that even the unseen enjoyment promised in the future are as temporary as the so-called pleasure he has already seen. So we have experienced, like, or Brahmacharya Grihastha, we have some kind of pleasure and try to attain, even, like devotee, if you are not so much serious, we want it, at least in the mind. What to speak if you are trying to do it in the practice. And we have experience, and we still have some kind, you know, unseen vision of so-called enjoyment wait for us. But it's same what we already experienced before. And this is our, actually, stupidity. And we still think there is some nectar there. There will be something we can enjoy. And there is another verse also. This is like, it's explained, Prabhupada said, example of cow. You know, cow is very saintly animal, but when a cow wants to, when cow eat the grass, usually she eat the grass and put grass in her throat and start to swallow the grass. And it was swallowing, chewing the chew. And after some time, grass went to one part of her stomach. And after that, grass again come in her mouth, and she start again to chew. So this is what we try to do. Same things is when I was young. I used to chew the bubble gum, and especially in Croatia, maybe you can say so-called third world country, but maybe not so much money even for, it's not like that. But anyway, when I, on the end of the day, my chewing gum, I used to put in a cup of water and keep it overnight. And in this way, I can chew the same gum, you know, for 3-4 days. I used to chew the same gum. But here in America, you know, it's chewing gum is very cheap, so you can buy a new one. So there is the next verse, 11 canto. There is a relationship of wife, sons, relatives, and friends are like the relationship for pilgrims. Pilgrims, you say, okay. And friends are like the relationship, who meet by chance in the resting place for a few hours before going on their way. When one leaves his body to accept another body, such friends and relatives are forgotten, just as upon waking one forgets the character in a dream. You know, simple words, easy understandable, but so profound, you know. There is another verse also, next verse. Having realized the truth of such transitory relationship, the Grihastha lives in his home like a pilgrim, a guest or a stranger in a strange land, dedicating himself entirely to Krishna and giving up attachment to his body, his relatives, his house and home. He is liberated even in this lifetime. So, you know, like a Grihastha person should really feel that he's like strange situation, you know. And I was listening to tape from Prabhupada when he said, in his writing, he said how actually in one side he encouraged Grihastha life, then is, you know, if you have wife, this is like your, you know, higher intelligence. He give intelligence, you know, to help control your senses. And if they're really nice and sincere, they can preach very nicely and they can raise Krishna conscious children. And it's a wonderful situation. But another class, Prabhupada also said that Grihastha life means actually just to realize, it's very heavy words, just to realize how is disgusted that relationship. It's really disgusted because we are not this body. I just mentioned before what kind of substance we have in our body. But because we are in this situation, we need, you know, somebody needs maybe 25 years to realize these things. That doesn't mean that you don't respect your husband or wife. You help one another, but you really realize I have a relationship, my own relation with Krishna, and I will use Grihastha Ashram to, you know, to help my wife or my children to realize Krishna. But ultimately, you know, I have to realize this is not my real place. And there is a story about Gajendra in the 8th canto. You know, there is an ocean of milk outside of this planet. Is one a very nice, big, huge mountain, 10,000 yojanas, I think, high. Tirukata is the name. I don't know, I forgot the name. And there is one elephant, king of elephants, Gajendra. He was enjoying life with his man elephants and other companions. And they came up to one lake, and this lake was huge. It was living huge crocodile. And this crocodile was disturbed when an elephant want to come in and take the bath, and he catch his leg. And it was fight start to going on for thousands, you know, celestial years. Ultimately, Krishna saved Gajendra, who was actually in previous life king in the Indradyumna. And there was a long story. He was cursed by, I think, Agastya Muni when he came to his ashram to meet him. But Indradyumna, king Indradyumna was absorbed in meditation of Krishna, and he didn't pay respect to him. And he cursed him to be elephant. And same with the crocodile, was actually also cursed. He was actually one of Gandharva, I forgot his name. But one time he was also in heavenly planets. He was playing with beautiful apsaras, in a heavenly girlfriends in a lake. And there was one Moni. Also, I forgot his name, but he was taking bath, and under the water he took his legs and started to play with him, and Muni cursed him to be crocodile. So by Krishna's arrangement, these two elephant and crocodiles met together, and it was fight. And in purport, Prabhupada said, there was long fight, and crocodiles, because he was in his natural surroundings in the water, he was start to be more powerful, and elephants start to be more weak because this is not his natural situation. And he start to actually start to beat him up, but he was saved by Krishna, because elephant was remembering his previous life and some shloka, and he start to glorify it. This is why it's important to learn shlokas. Start to glorify Krishna, and Krishna came and saved him. And so in the purport, Prabhupada said how we should try to be established in our, you know, if somebody by nature want to be Grihastha, it's okay, want to be Grihastha, should try to, you know, establish himself in that ashram. If somebody want to be Brahmachari, okay. And I just want to also read just very short about these ashramas. And Narottamacharya Prabhu, he gave class, and he said, you know, when you read Prabhupada books, there is so much emphasis about anything actually, you know, preaching, and it's so much important preaching, but also Prabhupada wants everything. Why we are doing preaching, you know? We are doing preaching to satisfy to Krishna, to get the love of God. Why we are doing deity worship, to be lover of God? Why Prabhupada want to establish one ashrama? And how to establish one ashrama? Actually, come in my mind, if Prabhupada said everything is in our books, so if you start to read this story and examples from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, what is one ashrama, what does it mean to be Grihastha, Brahmacharya Vanaprastha and Sannyas, and we try to put this in a practice, our daily life, what is possible if we are serious. We are establishing Varnashrama. You know, we are establishing Varnashrama in our society by our example. You see, there's not something in our air, you know. No, show by your example that you are good Grihastha. It's explained Grihastha has to have sex in a proper time just for procreation of children, nothing else. If you're not doing that, something's wrong. How can be an example? Brahmachari, same things. If you're not serious, if you don't control your senses, what kind of brahmachari you are? Sannyasi, same things. So if you have difficulty, okay, but one point of time, you try to start to be serious. We have to be example for future generation. They want to see role models, you see. So this has to be, we have to put in daily practice, okay. So there is, on the end of the purport, Prabhupada said on this class, he encouraged actually, in some sense, sannyas ashram. And there is one things from Jabalupanishad. One verse I find out. Here is a verse and goes like, Janaka, the sage among kings, as Jayanavakya, the sage among rishis. O great souled sage, please instruct me on the qualification of sannyas and the rules and regulation for following that ashrama. Jayanavakya said, Upon completing one's life as a brahmachari, one should accept the grihastha ashram. Having completed one's life as grihastha, one should accept the ashram of vanaprastha. After living for some time as a detached vanaprastha, one should accept the sannyas ashram. So in a purport is going on. Of course, if renunciation awakens in a person earlier in his life, he may take sannyas directly from the brahmachari ashram or even from the grihastha ashram without having to first pass through all the ashramas and become a vanaprastha. In any ashram, when one becomes anxious to renounce material enjoyment and render exclusive service to the Lord in divine love, then whether he has completed the religious practice that should be performed in the ashrama or not, whether he has completed his Vedic study or not, whether he has completed the studies or not, and whether he has performed the fire sacrifice or not, as soon as that powerful tendency to renounce material enjoyment and serve the Lord awakens his heart, that very day let him give up his family, that very day let him accept the life of wandering mendicant and go away as sannyasi. Of course, Prabhupada also said that sannyas is, you are also sannyas. Sannyas, real sannyas is detachment from material inclination. That means you can be grihastha sannyas or brahmachari sannyas. Sannyas means no material attachment, no material thought, no material endeavor, only sense gratification, only dedication to Lord, to serving the Lord. And there is a few more very beautiful verses about brahmachari and grihastha. Like, very simple words from Srimad Bhagavatam. Observing the principle such as brahmana and lifelong brahmachari, who is my devotee, burns all the seeds of karma to ashes by his devotional austerity. Spotless and pure, free of material contamination, such a devotee brahmachari is brilliant as a fire. It's very beautiful, very inspiring. And another one, all ashramans are meant for serving Hari. Chastity, penance, purity, peacefulness, and kindness to all living beings constitute grihastha dharma. And grihastha who approach his wife for procreation, children only, on those days sanctioned by scripture is considered chaste. Worship of Hari should be practiced by everyone regardless of their position in society. It is the duty of all varnas and ashramas. So Sachitanoi Prabhu gave me so many signs, I had to stop now. anyway, I'll stop here. If some question or comments or whatever, if not. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shrimad Prabhupada ki jai.